Fallout Equestria Starlight, Chapter 28, Tension Rising. But there's a catch. If I can't figure out which one's the real Pinky, I might send her back by mistake. Loyalty. What is loyalty? How can we be loyal in the face of insurmountable odds? When we are at our lowest, loyalty to the ones we love can save us. For it is in those times, the times that we are truly tested, that our loyalty gives us hope. I often wonder what life would have been like if the ponies of old Equestria had stuck true to their loyalty. Would the war ever have made it as far as it did? I don't know for sure. Rainbow Dash stayed true to Equestria until the bitter end. Was she the only one? What about Twilight? Was she loyal to her own words? I still don't know what to think about the Ministry Mayor in my head. I consider the connection between myself and the Ministry Mayor. What will happen if it disappears? Twilight said I might die if the connection is severed. I don't know what to think about that, but I can't let it get in my way. I have to keep moving forward to stay true and loyal to my convictions. I will stop Spark and save the Wasteland. I have to. There's no other road for me. The only way out of this is forward.
So, we're supposed to just deliver this thing to the NCR?
Patch said as we trotted out onto the lunar line. She was comfortably perched on my back, turning the holo emitter around in her hoofs, peering intently at it.
That's what Sunshine said, I replied. It's some sort of holo device. Supposed to let the Twilight Society talk to Kirby.
The NCI is preparing for war, and now they want to talk? Something's not right about this, Violet said. I nodded mutely. I was still reeling from my talk with Twilight. I glanced back at the device. Was there something up with the Twilight Society's intentions? I didn't know who to trust anymore. On one hoof, Sunshine Sky and Dusk Blue hadn't given me any reason to mistrust them personally. But the Society was responsible for my current predicament, if only accidentally. What if they were planning something really bad? On the other hoof, the NCR was trying to help, even if it was only in their unique brand of forced assistance. But there this was threat of war to deal with. Was the NCR trying to force the Society to use their superweapon? What kind of goal was that? I faced forward as we pushed into the nearest lunar line station, moving the thoughts out of my mind and trying to focus on the task at hand. We made our way down the stairs quietly as Patch focused on the holo emitter. The Green Mare had seemed extremely interested in the device. Despite the fact that it was rather tiny, she had been sure that there was some sort of opening on it, even if she had yet to find it. As we trotted along, she spent her time turning it about and examining it with a critical eye.
I don't get it, she finally said after several long moments, breaking the silence.
I raised an eyebrow, looking back at her.
What's that?
I asked. Patch sighed and motioned for us to follow her. She ducked into a nearby abandoned building, placing the device on the ground.
This whole thing, it reeks of wrongness, Patch replied, pointing at the device. Look at it. I can't find a seam to crack it open to see what's inside at all. And the screen on it just keeps flashing the same numbers over and over. Whatever the thing is, it wasn't made for Earth ponies to interact with.
You think that only myself or Star can make it work?
Violet piped up. Patch nodded. I glanced over at Violet and nodded.
Let's see what we can find out then, I said. Violet, see what you can do. Patch, you keep watch for anything bad.
Violet grimaced and nodded, flaring her horn. She lifted the device into the air, keeping it floating in front of us. The device began to beep softly as her magic worked over its tiny buttons. The numbers on the screen began to cycle.
That's not good, Patch said softly. I've seen those kinds of number cycles before.
Where?
I said softly.
On common timed explosive devices,
Patch said, gritting her teeth.
This thing is a fucking magic bomb, just a hell of a lot smaller and, if I'm right, packed a lot deadlier. Violet, be careful. I think you just activated it.
Violet's eyes widened as she looked at the device.
I don't think I did. I think it's been active. I think I just... turned its speed up, she said. I'm going to try and turn it off, just every pony stay back. I blinked. Be careful, Violet, please, I said. I blinked again. Wait, you mean that the Twilight Society sent us out here with a bomb? I said, glancing at Pat as we took a few steps back.
The green mare grimaced and then nodded. I almost couldn't believe it. The gears started clicking in the back of my head.
They wanted us to take out the NCR, or at the very least, Kirby.
Violet grimaced and flared her horn again.
It's fighting any attempt at shutting it down, she interrupted. I need some help, Star.
I narrowed my eyes, stepping forward and igniting my own horn, latching onto the device. Almost immediately my EFS was filled with arcane matrices and runes. I looked about, seeing the symbols everywhere. They even covered the others. I glanced back over at Violet, nodding. I accessed my magic, touching a nearby rune. It reacted, and in the distance I heard the device begin to beep faster.
Shit!
I shouted.
What did I do? You accelerated the timer, Patch yelled back. What did the symbol you touched look like? I don't know, some sort of squiggly line? I can't do this, I called out. I'm not a smart pony. Star, focus, Violet said. I'm going to join our magic together. We need to work in tandem to shut the thing down.
Her magic found mine in the void, intertwining with it and forming one singular beam of power. It was an incredible feeling, unlike anything I had ever experienced. I wondered why we had never joined together like this before. I closed my eyes and then opened them, seeing the runes in a whole new light. They actually started to make sense. I could feel Violet's mind behind me, a gentle teacher pointing out facts and naming the symbols.
Holy bucking Celestia's plot, I thought. This thing is way more complex than I thought it was.
The device was still beeping fast. We had to move quickly.
Star, can you hear me?
Violet's voice echoed in the back of my mind. I blinked. This must have been some sort of side effect of the magic.
Yeah, I can hear you,
I sent back to her.
What now?
We need to find the disarm trigger, Violet replied. We're looking for something subtle. It's not going to be a big red button saying, turn me off. I also would expect some sort of kickback. I grimaced and nodded as we began to poke around the runes and symbols floating in the air around us. A blast of magic erupted from one of the runes, striking us hard. I growled loudly against the attack. My side erupted in pain from the force of the blast. It hurt for real.
Violet, what the hell is happening?
I thought frantically. Violet's mind brushed mine through the magic, soothing the pain and calming me.
Star, cool it. We've gotta be focused if we're gonna find the trigger, she sent back to me.
I grimaced and finally nodded. She was right. Panic and fear wouldn't help us stop this thing. I started looking about. One of the smaller symbols floated across a corner of my vision. I did a complete double take when I saw it. It was an exact replica of Twilight Sparkle's cutie mark. Of course it was her design. The Twilight Society could never have come up with a device as sophisticated as this thing was. Twilight herself had designed it, but why? Twilight didn't seem like the sort to design weaponry. Perhaps this thing was never intended to be a bomb? I reached out, touching the cutie mark. It rippled in the air, telling me it was some form of emergency shutdown rune. I grinned.
Hold on, I shouted. I think I found it. Violet, it does have a big red button. We can shut it off.
We sent a surge of magical power into the rune, gritting our collective teeth as the feedback from the rune flowed through our bodies. The device stopped beeping and the screen went blank. We both breathed a sigh of relief and set the device back onto the ground. I felt Violet's magic give mine a loving stroke and withdraw as Patch stepped up to the device and picked it up.
So, the Twilight Society sent us out to blow up the NCR, she said. No wonder I didn't really trust them.
Why, though? Steeljack said. Why attack the NCR? Seems like a stupid move on their part.
I don't know why they would do this, but we can't let it happen, Patch replied. If the NCR were attacked so blandly, it really would cause a war. We wouldn't be able to stop it. It would just escalate and escalate beyond our control.
Patch speaks the truth. The NCR would not let such an act go unanswered. They would respond,
Nixie said.
But won't the Twilight Society figure out that the bomb didn't go off? Lilith said. I grimaced.
The timer was set very high and I got the feeling that there was something watching it, Violet said. I'm willing to bet they already know we disarmed it.
I glanced around nervously, wondering if we were about to be attacked. Nothing happened, though. I sighed and breathed a sigh of relief.
All right, so what do we do now? Steeljack said. Nixis nodded in agreement.
We move forward with meeting the NCR, I said. If the Society expects us to deliver the device, we'll deliver it. Violet, do you think that you can rig that thing to just emit a little light?
Pat cocked her head.
Why?
The Green Mare asked. I grinned.
Because after this is said and done, I'm going to cast a spell and try to tell us who's responsible for this. If the Society is truly responsible, then we've got a very big problem, I said. But I think it's only fair that Kirby sees it too. We can work it out with the NCR when we get there.
You can do that? Violet said, cocking an eyebrow. I nodded.
Twilight designed this thing originally. I'm willing to bet that I can access her memories and figure out some form of divination spell.
I offered.
All we need to do is set up the intended effect and set up the timer. We'll make whoever did this think that the bomb is active again.
And when we present it to Kirby, then we'll explain who's really responsible, Patch said. That's rather ingenious, even for you, Star.
Thanks. Hey!
I said, my eyes widening. The Green Mare was chuckling.
That's not funny. I can think sometimes too, you know.
You did just say earlier that you weren't a smart pony, Violet said nonchalantly.
Yup,
Steeljack chimed in. Lilith and Nixies merely nodded. I groaned.
Okay, you got me. Chuck it up to a lucky guess, I said, grinning. Now, are we doing this or not? We've got a fake bomb to deliver.
Violet smiled coyly and flared her horn, dipping into the arcane matrix of the device once more. A few moments later, her horn stopped glowing.
It's done, she said. Your turn.
I narrowed my eyes at the device, closing them and dropping back into Twilight's memories to search for the spell I was looking for. Several moments of searching revealed a direction I could take. I opened my eyes, lighting my horn and grasping the device with my magic. The mishmash of arcane runes appeared once more. I found Violet's patchwork spell easily enough and wiggled a redirector around it, changing the explosive output of the spell matrix to a display. Confident that it was going to work, I poked the trigger spell with my magic. The device beeped softly once more and the correct numbers appeared on the screen. Dropping my hold on the device, I looked over at the others.
It's done, I said. Patch, press a button on the front of the device.
You're sure?
The Green Mare replied. I nodded. Patch looked down at the would-be bomb and pressed the small button. A pinprick of red lights emitted from the device, painting the picture of a pony against the nearby wall. I glared at the picture as it came into focus.
Of course, I thought.
The picture was of a familiar unicorn stallion.
It can't be, Violet said. Why would... Dusk Blue,
I stated flatly as the light disappeared along with the picture.
No others. He's been playing both sides, trying to force a war. But why?
Power, Lilith said flatly. Like all ponies want. Just another power play in the wasteland with innocent ponies as the stakes.
If Dusk Blue really is behind this, he has access to Celestia One, Steeljack said. That can't be good.
We should get a move on,
I said, breaking into the conversation between the others.
Once we get to Camp Hope, then we can sort all of this out with Kirby.
My friends nodded in agreement and we made our way out of the abandoned building and back into the city. We walked in silence for a few moments before one of us broke the stillness.
I just thought of something pretty morbid, Lilith said. If that bomb was intended to go off when it did, it would have caught us too.
My eyes widened.
Dusk, he meant to kill us too.
We holed up in an abandoned building off the beaten path, forcing ourselves to take a much-needed break after a few hours. The disarming of the bomb was still fresh in our minds and we needed to take a bit of time to collect our thoughts about it. Thankfully, with the means of turning off the timer, we had time to prepare before we had to meet the NCR.
After checking the building for any signs of bloodwings or other wasteland terrors, we settled in and built a campfire to cook off of. I sat apart from the others, poring over my thoughts. I still couldn't believe it. Dusk Blue wanted to kill not only the NCR, but us as well? Why? What was his angle? How could the pony who had once stood by me in Chicka Cold want to kill me? I wasn't sure why. All I knew was he was in the way of not only finding out what was wrong with Patch, but also preventing us from getting out of the city and finding Spark. I glanced over into my saddlebags, my eyes catching onto the memory orbs that Discord had left me. I really, really wanted to watch it, but I knew that I had promised Violet I wouldn't until we left the city. I closed up my bags as my mare friend appeared next to me. The others were chatting amongst themselves next to the campfire.
"Hey, sweetheart," she said softly. "You okay?"
I nodded.
"Just thinking about things," I replied.
Violet gave me that look. The look that says, "I know you're lying to me, so you'd better pony up and admit it." I grinned sheepishly.
"Was also sort of thinking about looking at that memory orb, but thought better of it."
Violet's expression softened.
"Ah, sweetheart, I know that it's hard and I didn't want to say it before because I wanted you to stop," she said. "But you do know what an addiction is, right?"
My eyes widened.
"What? Are you saying that I'm addicted to those things?"
I asked. I was mortified to think that might even be the case.
"But I can't be addicted,"
Violet sighed.
"I'm saying that it's a fair possibility, sweetie," my laugh said. "You do tend to stick your head in them whenever you have a chance." "But they..."
I stammered. Violet pulled me close, smiling.
"Honey, I'm not saying it's true. I just think it's something you should think about," she said, nuzzling my neck. "I love you, and all I want is to see you safe. So if you want to talk about it, you can. You know that, right?"
I nodded, closing my eyes and burying my muzzle into her neck. Was Violet right? Was I actually addicted to memory orbs? I didn't want to believe it. I couldn't believe it. Violet sighed.
I'm sorry I brought it up. I didn't mean to make you feel bad." "No," I said. "You're right, Violet. I'm sorry. I just, with everything going on lately, I just don't know if I can handle it. Spark, Discord, Dusk Blue, everything is just so crazy."
"I know it is," Violet said.
"We'll get through it, I promise."
I looked up at her and sighed.
"We could have died if we hadn't disarmed that thing," I said. "Not to mention the kind of damage it would have done to the NCR. Yeah, I'm rather concerned about that myself. Why try to kill us? Wouldn't that prove that he's bad?"
Violet said, putting a hoof to her chin.
"I don't think so,"
I said, pulling myself out of my love's neck.
"The NCR thinks we're working for the society, whether we like that or not. Maybe he meant for it to look like a suicide bombing."
"But that's ludicrous," Violet replied. "He couldn't be that sloppy, could he?
Unless he's actively trying to get rid of us and wanted to get us all in one go,"
I said, narrowing my gaze at the green mare.
"Think about it. We split up to go out to Central Station and he told us explicitly that Sunshine would be there, but she wasn't. He's denied all of our requests to leave and go see Dry Rot."
"Yeah, but that's because we offered to help," Violet said. I grimaced.
"You're right there. Why would he want to hurt us? We've been trying to help him," I said. "It doesn't make any sense."
To be fair, it really didn't. There was no logical reasoning why Dusk Blue would want to actually kill us. Even Sunshine didn't seem to belay anything other than her gratefulness for saving her life.
"Whatever the reason, we're going to have to confront him at some point," Violet replied. "Hopefully, we'll be able to get Kirby to listen to reason." "Yeah, hopefully," I said, sighing.
In a few hours, we would see what the future would bring. For now, I tried to find some solace in the fact that we were still alive and capable of changing that future. The hours fled before us as we made our way around the perimeter of the city. Based on what Patcher told me before, the NCR camps within the city wouldn't permit any pony to continue forward to Camp Hope. We were going to have to go the long way around Manhattan and approach from the outside. I only hoped that my presence would lend some credence to the fact that we only wanted to talk to Captain Kirby. The NCR encampment came into view sometimes around the late afternoon. The NCR had certainly beefed up their reinforcements since we last had been here. Thankfully, we weren't shot on sight. We trotted up to the gate leading into the camp. Two soldiers stepped forward, both Earth ponies, their firearms pointed at us from their battle saddles.
"Halt! No pony enters Camp Hope unless they're with the NCR," the first guard said.
I grimaced and cleared my throat.
"I wish to speak with Captain Kirby," I said. "We have important information for him."
"No deal," the other guard said. "You're with the Twilight Society. That's been made quite clear to us."
"I am not with any pony," I said angrily. "Unless you count the Green Unicorn over there, and quite frankly, that's none of your business. But the Twilight Society, no, I'm not with them."
"Lies. You want to gain access to the captain so you can kill him," the first guard replied.
I blinked.
Are you really that stupid?" I said. "I'm the ministry mayor. I don't kill ponies."
The guard shrugged.
"Doesn't really matter. We are not letting you in here, and that's that,"
the second guard finally said.
"Privates!"
A harsh voice barked from behind the two guards, causing them to jump 3 feet into the air. The familiar brown form of Captain Kirby loomed behind them, a tight grin on his face.
"Sir!"
both guards shouted, snapping to attention. Kirby flashed a grin at me and turned his attention to the two guards.
"You two, didn't I make it explicitly clear that if Miss Star showed up that she should be shown the utmost courtesy?"
Kirby barked.
"Sir, but you also said not to let in any pony who wasn't NCR,"
the first guard replied.
"They're not NCR." "I don't care what I said. You were ordered to show Radiant Star to me if she appeared. Now she is here, and I find you berating her and telling her to leave?"
Kirby said.
"You're both relieved of guard duty. Go report to the mess hall to start your tours on kitchen patrol. Get!"
Both guards saluted shakily before moving towards the center of the camp, but not before giving me and my friends a pretty hateful glare. I winked in response. I know it was childish, but it made me feel good. I turned to look at Kirby.
"Come on, you lot. Let's get you out of the hot sun,"
the old stallion said. He shot a glance at Patch, who smiled in return.
"We've got some catching up to do and a lot to discuss."
We nodded, following the unicorn into the camp and immediately to his tent. Along the way, we received many more death glares from the enlisted soldiers roaming around the camp. None of them seemed to want to challenge the captain's word, however. The tent belonging to Kirby was just as I'd remembered it, no furnishings other than the single desk and terminal. The stallion motioned for us to sit, stopping Patch before she could.
"You're looking well," he said softly.
Patch smiled and nodded.
"You too, sir,"
she replied. Kirby chuckled.
"Please, Patch, you're no longer part of the NCR. You don't have to call me that,"
he said.
"Come, I've got a pillow set aside for you. Sit."
"I don't really need a pillow, Sir Kirby,"
Patch said, rolling her eye. Kirby scoffed.
"I insist," he said. "You were one of my best officers, Patch. It's a damn shame the NCR pushed you out like they did."
"I thought you were all for the NCR," I said, feeling very confused. This was a high-ranking officer after all.
"I am, but sometimes our internal politics goes a little too far,"
Kirby said.
"Old habits, I suppose. Not every pony follows the example of the Lightbringer. But you're not here to listen to this old stallion rumble about politics. So why are you here?"
I glanced over at Patch. The green man nodded reassuringly. I took a deep breath and began to speak.
"We were originally coming here to try and broker peace between the NCR and the Twilight Society. However, due to recent events, things have changed,"
I said, removing the rigged would-be bomb from my saddlebag. I set it on the ground in front of the stallion, who studied it intently. With a brush of my magic, the device tweedled loudly and activated. Kirby nearly jumped out of his coat when the room was suddenly bathed in red light.
"What's the meaning of this?"
Kirby shouted.
"Are you attacking me?"
I shook my head calmly. The red light began to coalesce into the familiar shape of Dusk Blue. His image hovered in the center of the room.
"Dusk Blue," I said. "Of the Twilight Society. I'm not sure if he truly owes them his allegiance now or not, though. He intended this device to be a bomb, meant to kill not only you, but to kill us as well.
Kirby's eyes widened. I grinned widely, motioning over to Patch and Violet.
Suffice to say, it didn't take. We disarmed the bomb and set it up to show who was responsible when the timer ran to zero.
The Society intended to attack us, Kirby said, narrowing his gaze at the tiny bomb.
The former bomb chirped happily and the light in the air collapsed back into the device. Dusk Blue's image went with it.
No, Dusk Blue acted alone in this, I tried to stress. Well, almost alone. He has accomplices within the Society, I'm sure of it. There's no other way he could have gotten this far without the Society intervening.
This device, it's MAS design, Kirby said. The Society wouldn't have given up such a device easily, even to one of their own. Do you have any proof that this Dusk Blue is behind all of this?
I gulped. Unfortunately, I didn't have anything. Just the arcane signature on the bomb and my gut instinct to go on. I shook my head.
I suppose I don't, no,
I said, fearing the answer that would come next.
Then we are at an impasse, Star. This kind of bold move is an open declaration of war, Kirby replied.
It's not, Violet pleaded. Not by the Twilight Society, it's Dusk Blue trying to goad both sides into war, and it's a war that won't end well for either side.
The others nodded, including Patch. Kirby groaned, standing from his chair.
You all don't understand. They tried to kill not only myself, but you as well, the captain shouted. Don't you get it? They sent you here to die.
Then ask the Society about it, Lilith said, interrupting. If they really don't know about it, they'll likely look into what Dusk Blue has been up to.
She glanced around at our bewildered faces.
What? Since when am I the voice of reason here? That could be a bad idea, I said. If Dusk Blue catches wind that we're onto him, he'll escalate and quickly. And he has access to Celestia One. I don't know about you, but I'd rather not be fricasseed in my own sauce.
I looked over at Kirby. He was still staring down at the device.
Kirby, we need to do something to get to Dusk Blue, but we need your help to do it.
Kirby mumbled something.
What you say?
I said I'm ordering an attack on Tenpony Tower, the old stallion replied angrily. Clearly you don't know one thing about what's going on other than that we were nearly killed by a fucking bomb. Who knows how many others this thing would have taken out if it had been allowed to go off? Hundreds? Thousands? I don't even want to think about it, Star.
You what?
I shouted, my eyes widening.
You can't. That will just force Dusk Blue's hoof even further. Think about what that will do if we are right.
She's right, Kirby,
Patch said.
If Dusk Blue reacts to this the way I think he will, he'll use Celestia One. Then it won't matter how much you fire guns at the tower, you'll all be dead.
Don't try and guilt-trip me, Patch. If the Society is stooping this low, it's a matter of time before they try something worse, like using Celestia One without provocation.
Kirby replied.
They'll do it, regardless of whether we do anything or not.
You have a point there. That's why I want you to let us take care of this, I said. We'll confront Dusk Blue and force him to admit to his crimes. With any luck, we should be able to solve this peacefully.
Kirby shook his head.
A peaceful solution is no longer an option here, Star. As of now, the NCR is at war,
Kirby said. The old stallion's horn lit up, bringing a radio from his desk. It clicked on and Kirby began to speak into it.
Sergeant, begin mobilization of the troops. This is a direct order. We are moving to attack Tenpony Tower. I repeat, we are moving to attack Tenpony Tower.
Sir,
the voice on the other end said.
Are you sure?
Are you questioning me, soldier?
Kirby barked.
Just do it.
The stallion on the other end yelped affirmatively and clicked off. I glared at the stallion. He merely stared back and pointed at the entrance to his tent.
If you aren't going to help me with this, Star, then leave. Because whether you like this or not, the NCR isn't going to take this sitting down. We're going to handle this our way.
So, what now?
Lilith said as we were being escorted out of Camp Hope. I was being glared at by every NCR soldier we passed now. Was I missing some sort of memo or something? I thought back to my dealings with Discord. Had he caused all of this? No, he couldn't have. Not from his stone prison. This had to be all Dusk Blue's fault. He was playing both sides. And I had no idea what I was going to do about it.
I don't know,
I said, shuffling out into the wasteland. I looked back at the NCR camp. The soldiers were beginning to gear up. War was coming whether I liked it or not.
We've got to stop this, Patch said. If the NCR attacks, there will be no punches pulled between them and the Twilight Society.
I agree with Patch, Lilith said. I say we get in there and bash some heads in. If we can get to Dusk Blue before the NCR smashes things all to Tartarus, we can blow this whole thing wide open.
I grimaced. As much as I hate to say it or agree with such a messy metaphor, Violet said.
She's right, we need to confront Dusk Blue.
I looked away, feeling my mare friend's hoof upon my shoulder.
Star, we can do this. We can stop this from happening.
I looked down at Violet and sighed.
You're right, we have to stop this, I said. We can't let this happen.
I ignited my horn, floating out Stargazer.
Let's go, we have a bat unicorn to stop.
We started moving forward as one, 10-pony tower floating off into the distance. We took shortcuts whenever possible, trying to keep ahead of the NCR, but with troops already entrenched in the city it was difficult. I turned on the radio as we ran to get some idea of what was going on. The loud and brash voice of DJ Pawn 3 filled the air.
Good evening, Wasteland Kiddies. It's time for some news. It seems that things are heating up in the city. NCR troops are on the move, and word on the streets is that they're headed to 10-pony tower. If you're living in the city, stay out of the way, kiddies. It might not turn out so hot for you. As for the ponies living in 10-pony, I know you're scared, but keep positive, my friends. I have no doubt that this will all get resolved peacefully and safely. All you gotta do is trust in each other and the friendships you've made, because fighting the good fight is all about staying true to your convictions. Stay low, stay hidden, and keep each other safe. But if the fighting does start, give 'em hell. And that, my little Westlanders, is up-to-date news.
I grimaced. We had to move faster. The NCR was going to be at 10-pony's doorstep within minutes. I growled loudly, flaring my horn. It had been a while since I'd tried a massive teleportation like this, but I didn't have any choice. We needed to be there quickly.
Star, what are you doing? Violet called out.
Her eyes widened as she recognized my magic working into overdrive.
Oh, no, 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 no!
I released the spell, the teleportation enveloping all of us. I felt the familiar warmth of the magic overtake me, dropping me out of this world and through to my intended destination, the Lunar Line. I grunted as I hit the ground on the far side of the teleport, hearing the set of my friends behind me. I glanced up shakily, seeing 10-pony a lot closer. I grinned.
I did it!
I shouted as the others pushed themselves off the ground.
I did it! I
turned around, hearing the roar of gunfire. I was too late. The NCR were already here. And they were pissed. Large detachments of troops rolled the wagon into place below the line while numerous other soldiers made their way up into the former station. A massive slug was loaded into the wagon's back and launched into the air by a team of unicorns. I grimaced, reaching out with my magic to grab onto it. I was able to deflect the slug, sending it slamming into another building harmlessly. My eyes widened when I saw the soldiers manning the wagon turn and point at us.
Shit!
I shouted.
Bad day, bad day!
I threw up my Alicorn shield at the last minute, the bullets slamming into it. I shuddered beneath the force of their shots.
We're not your enemy! You have to stop this!
The soldiers shouted back, lifting their firearms and firing again.
I don't think they want to listen to us, Star!
Violet shouted as I held my shield up. I grimaced.
All right, we're gonna have to get messy here, I called back. Every pony fan out, do what you can to try and stop the fighting. Don't kill any pony, disable only, got it?
Right! My friends shouted in return as I dropped my shield. I lifted Stargazer, launching into ESATS and targeting the wagon behind the soldiers. I let loose a steady stream of bullets, turning the thing into a pile of wood and metal, stunning the NCR troops temporarily and forcing them to focus on their broken siege engine. I took the moment to glance up at the Lunar Line. The NCR were already entrenched on the concrete line, now meeting heavy resistance from the forces of the Twilight Society. Unicorns blasted NCR troops with magic, knocking soldiers from the line to the ground below.
Violet, you stick with me. Patch, find some place to hide and get there,
I said, motioning at the green mare. Her eyes widened in anger.
Star, I can fight. Just because I'm pregnant doesn't mean...
she started to say.
I said go,
I shouted.
I need you in a safe place to provide cover fire. You're the best sniper we have. We can argue about this later, because now isn't the time.
Patch hesitated, but finally nodded, scampering off amidst the chaos. I glanced over at Steeljack.
Where do you want me?
He said. I grimaced. I was glad that he hadn't chosen to comment on sending Patch away. I was partially trying to keep the mare safe, while at the same time playing at her obvious strengths.
Stick with Nixies. You two work on disabling weapons. Lilith, you work on disabling any siege engines,
I said.
Violet and I are going to focus on the Twilight Society. See if we can get this madness to stop.
The Hellhound and the Earth Pony nodded, moving to take care of their own responsibilities. Lilith spread her wings, taking to the sky.
Bit harsh, don't you think?
Violet said. I sighed. Leave it up to my mare friend. I motioned to Violet to hop onto my back. I spread my own wings, pushing off into the air.
I did what I had to do, I said shortly as I flew upwards. It was an obvious choice. I have to think of every pony's safety. I know, and I agree, but you still could have been a little nicer,
Violet whispered. I nodded, returning my attention to my flight up. Thankfully, we had managed to evade the attentions of the NCR as we rose above the city. They were far too busy with the Twilight Society. I surveyed the damage. The NCR wasn't making much ground towards the tower itself. The Twilight Society had managed to erect some sort of magical barrier around the entrance, preventing any form of access. I grimaced. This wasn't what I wanted. These ponies were fighting and killing each other because each side believed that the other had attacked them. They were all being played. The Twilight Society was merely defending itself at this point, and the NCR was doing its best to dig in as deeply as they could. I banked down towards the lunar line once more, aiming for the side of the fight where the Twilight Society was holding their ground. The unicorns there were blasting away at the NCR soldiers, using their unique brands of magic to fend off any advances towards Ten Pony Tower. I landed on the line with a thud, Violet dropping off my back and to my side, startling a few of the Society guards fighting.
You've got to put a stop to this madness, I said forcefully. The fighting is only going to get worse the longer it's allowed to go on.
Ministry Mayor, you will remove yourself from our line of fire or we will be forced to remove you.
A voice called from behind us, interrupting the Twilight Society member that was about to open his mouth. I glanced back, seeing several NCR officers glancing at me from behind their lines. One of them had a bullhorn in his hoofs.
I'm trying to stop you from fighting, I shouted back. Don't you ponies get it? This is wrong. You need to stop. You're all being played for fools.
The NCR officer with the bullhorn shook his head and motioned our direction. The Grunt troops lifted their guns and fired. I grimaced, throwing up my Alicorn shield, a bullet deflecting off of it and striking a nearby Twilight Society unicorn in the head. He fell from the lunar line to the ground below and I shuddered. Too many ponies were dying. I needed to end this and I needed to end it soon. Unfortunately, the Twilight Society's frontline defenses also saw our presence as threatening because my shield was beginning to get peppered by blasts of magical energy as well. I roared angrily as Violet leapt back onto my back. I took to the sky, using telekinesis to force away any attacks. A stray bolt of energy struck my side and I howled in pain. My entire side felt like it had been just set on fire. I felt Violet shake a little bit on my back.
You all right back there?
I called back.
I'm fine. Let's get somewhere safe,
my love reported. I nodded, beating my wings as hard as I could. I flew straight towards one of the nearby abandoned buildings, diving through a broken open window and coming to rest behind the cover of the cement wall. I took a deep breath while Violet tended to my side.
You've got a nasty cut from that last blast,
she said, her horn glowing brightly as it healed me up.
What in the heck is going on out there? It's like they don't even want to listen to us. All they want to do is fight. I know, it doesn't make any...
I said, my eyes widening.
No, it can't be. He can't have... What, Star? What is it?
Violet asked. I narrowed my gaze at her.
Discord, maybe he's the reason why no pony is listening to us, I said. He's trying to force this war. He started it when I was stuck in Sunshine's body.
I quickly recounted the details of our chess match and what had happened that had caused Discord to win. Violet grimaced.
You think he set this whole thing up?
She said finally. I nodded.
You wouldn't be wrong,
a voice came from beyond the stairwell. I glanced up, lifting Stargazer into the air on instinct.
Who's there?
I called out.
Show yourself.
A pink unicorn mare appeared in the doorframe. Sunshine Sky.
Don't shoot, I'm not here to fight you,
she said. I growled.
You sure about that? Your friend Dusk Blue seemed to have no problem with trying to send us to our deaths,
I retorted. Sunshine narrowed her eyes, but her expression remained serious.
If I'd wanted to kill you, Radiant Star, I'd have done so already,
she said.
Dusk Blue, however, he really does want to kill you. He's not under Discord's mind control like the rest of them are.
Discord,
I said flatly. The pink mare nodded.
He tricked us all, she said. But I got free. I think it happened when you and I switched bodies. It freed me from his mind control.
But why? Why did he do this? Violet said. I don't get it.
I do, I said angrily. He wanted to delay us. He wanted to go after Spark. The fucker lied to me. He still wants Spark and Twilight's power.
I don't know exactly what's going on here, but I feel like you should know. Dusk Blue was the one who brokered the deal with him. Discord gets free and Dusk Blue gets Celestia 1 and 10 Pony Tower,
Sunshine said.
What happened after you left Chica Cold?
I asked. Sunshine sighed.
Dusk Blue, he became obsessed with power after he met you. He wanted the power to change the wasteland, and he sees Celestia 1 as the ultimate expression of that power,
the pink mare replied.
The only way that he was going to get access to the mega spell was to trigger a war.
That's where Discord came in, Violet said.
Sunshine nodded in reply.
Dusk Blue approached Discord. He somehow figured out where he was,
I said.
But he couldn't free him. He needed me. Why did he need me?
Spark, Violet said.
It must have had something to do with you, Spark, and Twilight. Luna's spell must have held a concession that would allow the element of magic to free him.
But I freed him, I argued.
Not Spark. I'm not the element of magic.
I was about to say something else before Sunshine interrupted the both of us.
This is all well and good, but we've got a real problem out there. Not only is the NCR trying to lay waste to Ten Pony, but Dusk Blue is convincing the society to let him use Celestia 1,
the pink mare said.
If they give him access to it, he will be unstoppable and there will be nothing we can do about it. He'll murder every pony.
Sunshine is right, Violet said.
The How of Discord is important, but we've got to put an end to this now before more ponies end up dead.
We need to get into Ten Pony Tower then, I said, turning to Sunshine.
How do we get in without Dusk Blue knowing about it?
We don't. He's going to know when we enter regardless, Sunshine said.
About the best I can do is get you in. We should go now before things get worse. The society and the NCR aren't going anywhere, that's for sure.
Listen, the fighting's stopped for the moment.
I blinked, glancing out the window. Sure enough, the NCR and the Twilight Society had withdrawn back to their respective sections they had claimed of the Lunar Line. They were at least temporarily balanced. The NCR couldn't break through the Society's barriers, and the Society couldn't repel the NCR. Still, the death toll was staggering. There were ponies strewn about everywhere. I grimaced as I scanned the city for our other friends, praying to Luna that they weren't amongst the dead. My heart leapt when I saw Steeljack and Nixies hiding beneath the line station. Lilith and Patch stood next to them.
We've got time, I said. Let's get the others and end this before Dusk Blue does.
So, you're saying that Discord and Dusk Blue used you to start this little war?
Lilith said as we trotted into the back alleys behind Ten Pony Tower. The streets were eerily silent as the NCR and the Twilight Society held their places on the Lunar Line. Sunshine had promised us a way into the tower using the old sewer entrance. The pink unicorn mentioned the possibility of feral ghouls down there as well.
Yes,
I said softly, averting my gaze from my Pegasus friend. I wasn't particularly happy about Discord getting one over on me. I'd fallen for his trick hook, line and sinker.
Damn,
Lilith replied, looking down at the ground. Violet placed a hoof on my shoulder, smiling. It's not your fault, Star, she said. None of us could have been able to predict what Discord's plan really was.
She's right, Sunshine Sky said. Discord played all of us to get what he wanted.
She motioned at the cellar door in the back part of the alley.
This is where we enter.
I grimaced, reaching out with my magic before she could and ripping the door open.
I made a mistake,
I said calmly, standing at the pieces of door gloating in my magic.
Made too many mistakes. This is the least. Discord is going to rue the day he messed with the ponies of the wasteland.
I started down into the cellar stairwell, the others following closely behind me. They didn't say anything else, and they didn't need to. I wasn't going to accept any consolation. The only thing for me to do was to move forward and finish this. Get to Spark, get to Discord, figure out the rest after that. The stairwell turned into a tunnel that was dank and disgusting. I ignited my horn, filling the tunnel with a bright light. I kept moving forward with Sunshine Sky calling out the directions. We made a turn to the left at the first fork, coming out into what appeared to be a filthy cavernous structure.
Where to from here? I said. Down deeper into the cavern there's a sewer entrance into Ten Pony's basement, Sunshine said. I'm sure that we'll run into some resistance there. If not ghouls, then there will be society. Dusk has already got a nowhere coming.
Why hasn't he used Celestia 1 yet if he knew that?
Violet asked, her voice filled with suspicion. I nodded.
I agree with Violet. Why would he let us get even this far?
I said. Sunshine shook her head.
I don't know, but I don't like it. It's too easy,
she replied as we continued deeper into the cavern. We turned another corner, hearing the telltale sound of feral ghouls in the tunnels up ahead.
Sounds like it's about to get a little more difficult, I said, floating Stargazer out.
Two ghouls rounded the corner ahead of us, howling with wild abandon. I took aim, reducing the heads to piles of rotting flesh on the floor before any pony else could even get off a shot. I was through playing games. All this was just in my way. I started past the dead ghouls before the others, intent on moving forward. A hoof grabbed my leg, forcing me down to the ground. One of the ghouls I'd thought I'd killed had latched itself to me. I struggled, bringing Stargazer around to bash it upside its head, which was strangely regrowing. Then I realized just how stupid I really am when I heard the faint clicking coming from my pipbuck. Ghouls regenerate in the presence of radiation. The other ghoul was up too, leaving its fellow to deal with me while it went for my friends. A flash of green vines appeared out of nowhere, yanking the two ghouls into the air and holding them against the cavern ceiling. Sunshine Sky stepped up, lending me a hoof.
Careful, she said. The radiation is minor down here, but still enough to cause regeneration.
I grunted, my eyes falling past her on Patch. The green mare was glancing sidelong at Violet's clicking pipbuck.
Patch, I said calmly. If you want to go, you can. No pony here will blame you. We all want you to be safe.
Patch glared at me. I felt the heat all the way across the room.
I'm fine. Sooner we get up into the tower, the sooner we won't have to worry about it,
she said with an edge to her voice. I grimaced. The way she had been looking at Violet's pipbuck worried me. Knowing without exactly what was going on with her pregnancy, I was genuinely scared for my smaller friend. Before I could say anything to rebuke her, Violet spoke.
She has a point there, she said. We should keep moving.
My laugh looked up at the two ghouls plastered to the ceiling. They were still thrashing about.
What about those two? Self-sustaining spell, Sunshine said. My specialty, they'll be up there until I say otherwise.
Why not just kill them and be done with it?
Lilith asked. The black Pegasus bristled her bladed wings. I could tell she was ready to get out of here as well.
Because the radiation would just regenerate them, Sunshine replied. We're better off just getting through here and closing off the door into the tower.
More hisses and growls echoed from down the hall.
And by the sound of it, we're going to be plenty busy just getting there.
Sure enough, three more ghouls appeared out of nowhere. Violet stepped forward, throwing out blasts of silver fire into the air with thunder flash. A stream struck one of the ghouls, turning it into a gelatinous pile of silver goop.
Regenerate that!
She shouted, taking aim and firing at the other two, but missing. One of them got past her defenses, only to receive a face full of Stargazer's barrel. It staggered backwards, giving Violet the opportunity to lash the undead beast with more silver flame. A flash of green appeared to our side as another vine broke out of the ground, latching itself onto the third remaining ghoul. It snarled and snapped as the vine pressed it against the wall, holding it there. Violet grimaced as she brought Thunderflash around point-blank at its head. A quick press of the trigger and its head was gone. Sunshine Sky motioned for us to follow her and we continued forward, taking care of ghouls in groups of threes and fours along the way. I was slightly concerned that the ghouls hadn't tried to attack us en masse. They had to know that we were here, since we were literally making enough noise to wake the dead. We arrived in the final tunnel, which appeared to be some form of old train station tunnel. At the far end of it was a crude but strong door, framed in steel and barred with rebar.
"That's our way in," Sunshine panted.
Even with her unique talents, she was still just a normal unicorn and the overuse of her sustained spells was getting to her. I recognized magic burnout from my all-too-frequent brushes with it.
"Sunshine, are you all right?"
I said, placing a hoof on her shoulder.
"I'll be all right. Let's hurry, we don't have time to talk,"
she said, moving forward. The pink mare put a hoof up to her chest, falling to the ground. She gasped for air, panting hard as Violet and I stooped down next to her.
"Shit,"
Violet said, flaring her horn. Her magic scanned the other mare, lingering on her heart and the base of her horn.
"She's really been stressing her magic. We need to get her somewhere safe she can rest." "Sunshine, can you hear me?"
I said. The mare didn't respond, simply staring off into space. I shook her a bit, which managed to get her attention.
"Sunshine, we need to move. I'm going to carry you, all right?"
Sunshine nodded blankly as I helped her onto my back, laid across my whiskers. The pink unicorn groaned, clasping her forelegs around my neck. I grimaced. I was starting to feel like a pack mule today.
"We've got a problem," Nixie said.
The hellhound pointed at the tunnel behind us. The ghouls that had been restrained by Sunshine Sky's spell were now free and they were pretty unhappy with us. They filed into the tunnel, growling and snapping. There were even more of them than before, dozens or hundreds of the monstrosities driven out of the sewers and in our direction by their brethren.
"I think perhaps we should flee to see another day, as they say."
"I don't know what he said, but I agree with the fleeing part,"
Lilith shouted, turning tail and running past us towards the steel door. I followed behind, flaring my horn and latching onto the obstacle. Sunshine Sky shifted on my back slightly, forcing me to lend a little bit of my magic to keeping her still. The door buckled under the pressure of my magic, forcing open with a slam. Every pony squeezed hurriedly into the tiny stairwell as I turned to face a growling horde of undead. I roared with righteous fury, my horn burning brightly in the dark sewer. No more deaths. No more. I was not going to let my friends die here.
"No more!"
I shouted, releasing the energy I'd built up in a wave of magic that slammed into the ghouls, knocking all of them to the ground in a heaping pile of necrotic flesh. I huffed and panted, turning to the door. The others were huddling just inside. I stepped in and brought my magic up once more, refashioning the barrier that had long held the ghouls at bay. Once I was reasonably sure it was stable, my horn darkened. Seconds later, a slam of hoofs against the door informed us that the monsters were at least temporarily contained.
"We're definitely not going back out that way,"
Patch said, taking a breath and grabbing a few packets of Radaway out of Steeljack's bags. She passed them out to the others before taking a huge gulp herself.
"Are you all right?"
I asked softly. They all nodded and I turned my attention to Sunshine Sky.
"Sunshine? What?"
the pink mare said, glancing up at me. I smiled softly and lifted her from my back to the ground. Sunshine blinked a few times.
"What happened?"
"Magic burnout," Violet said. "You need to rest."
"But I've never..."
Sunshine said shakily before sighing and nodding.
"You've got to leave me here then." "Not alone," I said. "Nixie's Patch, you stay with Sunshine and stay out of sight. The rest of us will go ahead to face Dusk Blue."
The hellhound nodded silently while the green mare cocked her head at me.
"I thought you'd want me to stay somewhere safe. What if that door doesn't hold?"
she replied. I gave her a soft grin.
"Then I know you'll be able to give some help, Patch." I said. I sighed. I'm sorry about before, I...
Patch lifted a hoof.
Say no more, we are cool, she said. I did promise to keep you in the loop after all, and I wasn't exactly doing that. Now get going. We'll keep Sunshine safe and catch up with she's feeling better.
I nodded, standing to look at the others.
Let's go, I said. We've got an insane unicorn who wants to destroy the Wasteland to stop. So, just a typical afternoon?
Violet replied, grinning widely.
Exactly.